May the Lord's Christ, the Epiphany light, shine in our hearts today and always through his word and sacrament. Amen. We have been anointed with the Holy Spirit and power in our baptism, and it's a guarantee. That Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing what is yet to come, that we will be in the likeness of God's Son. We read about that from the Great Resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 35. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. As is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Christ, the Epiphany light, dear fellow reflectors of the light of Christ, did your mother or grandmother ever say something to you like this? Good, better, best, never let it rest, till your good is better and your better best. It's just natural. It's good. Parents want their children and grandchildren to reach their full potential. You know how it is. The Marines are still just looking for a few good men. The Army wants you to be all that you can be. Most churches today, full potential, that's as good as it gets. That's not good enough for God. God says, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's who he is. That's what he is. And even if you skip the first three commandments and figure you're doing fine because you're okay with family, haven't murdered anyone, haven't stolen, haven't committed adultery, must be fine as you look at the outward appearance. But God looks at the heart. Murder in the heart or lust are sins as far as God is concerned too. And what about the eighth commandment? Not just condemning gossip, but those who listen to it. And what about all those sinful desires that the ninth and tenth commandments condemn? God demands perfection. He has a standard far above the best that we could ever be on our own. And God's holiness can never be satisfied with good, better, best, never let it rest, if that's all that we can be. But look at that. Never let it rest. lessons of life, especially those teen years. High school in the Dakotas, college in Wisconsin. One hard lesson was that no matter how hard you try, cowboys are not impressed with city slickers. Vice versa. Cowboy boots and hat in high school, yeah, expected. Not so much between Madison and Milwaukee. Everybody in a new job, you've had them too. You go in, new school. You know what a greenhorn feels like. A greenhorn always has so much to learn if you could just get past the pride. So walking along a Wisconsin road, moonlit night, with my future bride, we heard the screaming of a pickup engine and the wheels just spinning for all they were worth, and finally came upon a pickup tied with a rope to the rear bumper of a small car. The woman watching while this kind-hearted pickup driver would gun the engine and jerk that rope to try to get the car out of the ditch. It was a wonder the bumper was still attached. So you stop and you try to push, and the harder he pulls, the more the front end just keeps drifting deeper into the ditch, deeper into the snow. You're just dragging that car sideways. Finally, you swallow and ask him to untie the car. Look at you funny. Little lesson from Dakota ranchers. You take the keys and you turn on the engine and you just kind of work your way back a little bit. And you work your way forward a little bit. As long as you're not high-centered, it works actually quite well. And just back and forth to get a track. And then you get back just far enough and just gently, just enough power to get up and over the edge and back on the road and hand the keys to the young woman and walk away with a smile. And that's our life. That's your life before God comes and hopefully after he gets there. Because no matter how hard we try, it just seems like all we can do is get a bigger rope, a bigger engine, more people pushing, just trying harder, gunning that engine. It's a wonder that we don't, with all of our trying and jerking, just rip our lives apart. But oh, we keep on trying. See, you can't skip the first three commandments, can you? God demands that we love him above all things. What takes position in our heart? Is it your sports, your relationships, your hobbies? Is there always something besides God? Now that's your God. That's your idolatry. God demands that we honor his name. And yet we cannot even pray the Lord's Prayer all the way through with all our heart and soul. God commands that we sanctify the holy day by hearing his word. Yet how often do we miss? Not for good reasons. Or let our mind wander when we're here. All those commandments that we break, and we'd only have to break one, we're no longer holy. If a man keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point, he's guilty of breaking all of it. All we do is keep on jerking on that rope and trying harder and harder. And the Lord says in his prophets, the nations exhaust themselves for nothing. And then we come along as human beings and we think we're so enlightened. That's Paul's problem here in the Great Resurrection chapter. He's got some really enlightened people, really know what's going on. And boy, they want answers. Okay, maybe there's a resurrection of the dead, Paul, but you tell me. How are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come with? Really smart. Like that man named Charles Darwin, very intelligent man of his time, son of a preacher. Bless you. But he had a daughter. Charles Darwin's daughter died young. And he was heartbroken. He lost a daughter and then was stuck with that question that he could not answer. How can an all-powerful God allow suffering to continue? How could God, if he's a God of love, do something so awful to me or to my daughter that I would have to see her suffer? And so the enlightened one rejected God. There must be some other explanation to how we got here, and off you go with Darwin's evolution and everything they've spun from that. That question that's in the first book of the Bible, the book of Job, the book of suffering. And yet you look at Paul in Romans chapter 5, and he says, in view of the fact that we are justified by grace through faith, we can have joy in the midst of our suffering because suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts, good, better, best, God can't let it rest. Do you really want him to? If your best will never be good enough for God? 700 years before Christ in Isaiah, the Lord says this, "The wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. And when my heart is troubled, when that heart feels like the roaring and tossing of the sea, there's only one place to go, and it's not to try harder. It's back to God. Give him the keys. Let him take the wheel. Because sometimes in your life you're going to feel like you're going backwards because God is driving you backwards and then forwards and then backwards and then forwards and backwards and forwards to make a track. And he knows where that road leads. And just enough power to give you to get your wheels back on the road, traveling again, so that he can smile at his children that he loves so dearly. Never let it rest, God, or as Augustine put it, make us restless until we rest in thee. Don't ask the question, enlightened ones, how foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. You look at a wheat field, it doesn't look at all like the seeds that went into that wheat field. It's a no-brainer. So it will be for the body when it's raised, he said. God gives each seed the body that he has determined. To each kind of seed he gives its own body. So at the resurrection of the dead, the body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Could this be why the old Lutherans, German or Scandinavian, or Germans from Russia, that came to the Dakotas and into Minnesota and put all those cemeteries out behind the church? Sometimes when you look at the sign above the cemetery, you know what it says? God's acre. God's acre. Planted for God. Take the highway between Zumbrota, Minnesota, and is it Red Wing? Little town of Hay Creek. Trinity Lutheran Church has a cemetery in back. And three tiny little gravestones of three little children from Paul and Mary Cordes, relation, I don't know. 1870, three little children only months old died in less than a year. Influenza. That wasn't the end of the story. How do people like that, who have suffered such an extreme loss, their first three children died, how do they pull up stakes, move a few miles away to West Florence and donate land for another church that to this day is called Trinity Lutheran Church, and put God's Acre out behind that church where there's 7 healthy children who lived and died, and their families are all there on God's Acre. This is not an accident. This victorious life in the light of Epiphany, the Jesus who came and stood in the Jordan River to be our Savior, anointed with power from God and with the Holy Spirit, could in that power do the miracles that proves He is the Christ, all the way to the greatest miracle of all, to die and raise His body to glory, so that we could trust we too would rise and have our bodies fashioned like His glorious body. Do you suppose that all these Christians with God's Acre were confessing their faith, that victorious faith, like on another gravestone that just chiseled Hosea 6, 2, and 3 there? I had to look it up. After 2 days He will revive us. On the third day He will restore us, that we may live in His presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge Him. As surely as the sun rises, He will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. This is not all there is. Good, better, best. God can't let it rest. We don't want Him to. God alone can make it better. God makes better best. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. That's Adam and Jesus, the second Adam. The spiritual did not come first. You have a natural body, needs to eat, needs rest, needs heat, needs protection. You have a natural body, but the spiritual body will come later. The first man was of the dust of the earth, as we are, dust to dust and ashes to ashes, but the second man, Christ, from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. We even inherited that terrible birth defect called original sin. Parents don't have to teach us to be bad. They have to discipline us and teach us to be good, because we're bent toward evil like the first man, Adam. But the man from heaven, in the new birth, the born again, so are you who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so we will bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Only God can make better best. We look at these bodies as they are now, and it's frustrating. We talked in Bible class about that, how the Lord says we have this treasure in jars of clay. It's not just pastors that feel that. You feel it when the body won't do what you want it to, especially when you want to do the Lord's work. You say, Lord, this was for you. Why isn't this working? Why won't it go the way I had planned, the way I'd hoped, the way I'd prayed? And you try harder. Get a bigger rope, stronger engine, gun the engine, stay up late, get up early. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And sometimes you and I just really need to take loose the rope, hand those keys back to God, say, you drive. Or like that sign up the road, don't you like that one where it says, if God is your co-pilot, trade places? Let Him drive. Let Him be the pilot, the guide and director of your life. He's the one that will make it better on the other side. Luther described this in one of his sermons. I like this quote. He says, we must picture in our own hearts that when we are buried under the ground, we will come up again and grow into a new existence and an everlasting life. We don't have to think of ourselves as dead and decaying, but rather as planted. We must learn a new way of speaking about death and the grave. When we die, it doesn't mean we are dead, but instead we are seeds planted for the coming summer. The cemetery is not a mound for the dead, but a field full of little seeds, which are called God's seeds. They will one day blossom again and become more beautiful than anyone can imagine. As Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end he will stand upon this earth. I will stand upon this earth. With these eyes I will see God. I will behold him for myself, I and not another. This body, raised and glorified, will shine with all the epiphany light of the Lord, not for a day or a month, not for a lifetime of earth's lifetime, but forever. Never sick, not even able to get sick. No weakness, no death, no lack of intelligence or loss of brain power, no emotions that get the best of you and drag you down. No summer and winter, no cold and heat. Just God in all his glory, in Christ's epiphany light. Shine. Amen.